They had opened the airport up in the first week of May, and there were people flying in on private aircraft that day to look at property. They'd been waiting at home, ready to make a move or jump out here to look at property. And that started it. And that May was a very robust time in the market, and it just grew steadily through the year. It was hard to comprehend, but I look back at that point, and you know, everything I'd done in the 25 years of my career was preparing me for that moment.
Welcome to the Top Broker Podcast. We have on top producing agents from around the country and learn what separates them from the rest. I'm your host, Phil Wells. Today we have on Lex Tarumians from Sotheby's. Lex is one of the top 100 brokers in the nation by sales volume. He has consistently been one of the top performing agents in the Aspen, Colorado area, selling almost $300 million of real estate in 2021 alone. Lex is a chartered financial analyst and has previously worked as the director of sales and marketing for the Gantt Condominiums, which are also in Aspen. I'm excited to have him on the show to learn more about Aspen and how he built such a commanding presence in his market. Lex, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Phil. Glad to be here.
Okay, well, I always like to start with a bit about you so the audience gets to know you and how you got your start with real estate. So what were the first 2 years like? What worked for you and what didn't? And by the way, I was so shocked to see that you've only been an agent for 11 years. Is that accurate?
I have just been an agent for 11 years. I did get my license about 15 years ago. I was doing a little bit of referral business when I was working at the Gantt Condominiums, and really never planned to get into real estate, or did not plan to get into real estate. I explored it a little bit back in the 2005, 6, 7 years, but I really wanted to get into the investment management business here in Aspen, and that led me down the road of getting my CFA designation, my Chartered Financial Analyst designation.
Okay.
And that, that proved to be very helpful in my real estate career. But when I started 11 years ago, I really started on the commercial and the property management side here in downtown Aspen.
That makes a lot of sense. So you didn't have a traditional start as a real estate agent. You had business, I imagine, feeding into you, right from the get-go. Is that kind of accurate?
Well, I had a little bit of business. At least I had an idea that at the time I had two young children and a family to support, and jumping from a salary position into a fully commissioned career was going to be tough for me at the time. And I knew if I could get a foothold into real estate, if I could get something with a baseline or a base salary, that I would be able to use my connections here in Aspen. I'd be able to use my finance experience and grow a real estate business, a brokerage business for myself. So I had that opportunity, and so I spent a lot of time the first few years really working on a lot of commercial projects and development projects, and maintaining and advising on commercial buildings here. That was how I got my start. I really had spent the previous 15 years, I didn't know it, preparing for being in the real estate business, though. I spent 12 years in hospitality at the Gantt Condominiums, working in various capacities. For 7 years, I was the reservations manager at the property. Mm-hmm. And that was 140 individually owned condominiums. So I had 140 property owners, that many of which I was in fairly consistent contact with.
Right.
So I built relationships that way. And then the other side of that business was I spent a lot of time on the phone with prospective guests of the condominium hotel, selling reservations, negotiating reservations for them, and working in that capacity, and that really gave me a lot of skill in working with people on the phone. And when we'd hit our off season here and the phones were slow, I'd pull a list of people that had come in the off season, and I would start dialing out and connecting with people and seeing if I could get them to come back and stay at the resort during the off season. So I did 12 years at the Gantt. And then as I was in process of getting my CFA charter, I went to U.S. Bank and I worked for 4 years there in commercial banking and then in some investment management work. And at that time, I really was able to get more involved in the local business community. Mm-hmm. So I met developers there. I met real estate investors. I met a lot of business owners. And really, that helped build my network locally. And so I was able to merge those two experiences when I got into commercial real estate. And with that, started building my brokerage business from both a commercial and residential perspective.
That makes a lot of sense. For those of us who are a little bit less familiar with Aspen, can you describe the geography and housing stock of Aspen a little bit for us?
Absolutely. Aspen is a historic mining town that was built in the 1880s during the Silver Rush, roughly now. So it's a historic mining town that is at the base of a world-class ski area, Aspen Mountain. There are three other ski areas that are in the immediate area, and they're all under one ski pass. It's Aspen Mountain, Aspen Highlands, Snowmass, and Buttermilk. The Aspen area geographically is in a valley that's surrounded by mountains. We're about 45 minutes south of Interstate 70 in Glenwood Springs. And in our valley, the majority of the land is public land. So we have a very finite and limited amount of developable land. Most of the land now is developed. And I think, as I mentioned, we have 6,000 permanent residents. There are roughly, I want to say, about 15,000 properties in Pitkin County, which is primarily comprised of Aspen and Snowmass.
I've heard that Aspen is, because of the valley and that it's mostly public land, it's almost like a little mini Manhattan, and the property there is really valuable because of that. Is that accurate?
Yes. We have an absolutely supply-constrained market, like being on an island, essentially. And in a lot of ways, it is like a mini Manhattan because it's a very walkable town, and that attracts a lot of people to buy second and third homes here, or people to come and enjoy Aspen as their primary residence. We're seeing a lot of high net worth families coming here pre and post pandemic to take advantage of what Aspen has to offer, which is a very well-designed downtown that's very walkable, very usable, great shops and restaurants, great arts and culture throughout the year, and then all of this access, all of this access to the outdoors with the ski mountains, biking and hiking trails, river rafting, fly fishing. The abundance of outdoor activities really make Aspen special, along with the fact that we have a 365-day-a-year climate in which you can recreate throughout the year.
Are you seeing more people lately coming for, the fishing and mountain biking and that sort of thing? Or I guess what I'm looking for, is it a 50-50 breakdown, or is it like 90% of people come for the skiing and then you also have people who enjoy the summertime activities?
It's about 50-50. The demographics or the profile of the visitor or second homeowner are a little, well, they're different between winter and summer. Winter, we have an international business, so we have a lot of skiers from Europe, from Australia, and from South America coming. People come to Aspen for a five-day stay or maybe a two-week stay if they're coming all the way from South America or from Australia. Fewer of our second homeowners and our second home buyers come for extended periods in the winter. They'll come out for President's Week. They'll come for a week or 10 days at New Year, over Christmas, New Year's. But in the summer, we see a lot of people coming from hot climates. They're coming from Miami, from New York, Dallas, Houston. And they are coming and they're spending a month in the summer or the majority of the summer. And a lot of those people convert into homeowners. Those people will come and they'll rent for a month and they'll do it for 1, 2, 3, 4 years and then decide that they're ready for an Aspen property. And oftentimes what we're finding here is you have clients that you've sold a home to. They have friends or family that have come to visit them and they are really starting to catch on to Aspen. And most of the time, those people are not ready to immediately move to purchase, but they do want to rent. So we're getting a lot of rental referrals from our base of business or our client base that already own homes here. And that's a great way to get a conversation started, provide a great level of service. One of the things my team and I really focus on and I try and instill in my team is hospitality. Having come from a hospitality background, we really try and take care of our buyers but also and sellers, but also our rental clients, and really make it a great experience for them to come to Aspen and enjoy it, all that it has to offer, and really make sure that they're getting the full experience when they come here for a week or 2 weeks or 2 months.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's that hospitality background, excuse me, must come in handy, because especially dealing with that amount of people, remembering them, having dealt with all of these, you know, reservations and people coming, you know, I imagine that a lot of those people come, you know, first to you, or they respond when you send them out, you know, an email with properties. And I imagine that that really helped you get a whole set of clients that you wouldn't have otherwise had. Can you speak a little bit about your team? You know, who's on it and how do you structure your team?
My team, I have three full-time members on my team, Sarah Pegler, Alex Heineman, and Ashley Fetterson. And they have experience in the business ranging from about 10 years to 18 months. And I've built the team slowly as my business has grown. And each of the team members has listings or buyers that they assist me with. From a contract coordination standpoint, a listing coordination, showing property. And the way I've looked at building my business is I am trying to give people that I find talented and willing to work hard, I'm working to give them an opportunity to get into the business with the right level of mentorship and support, that they don't have to be desperate for that first sale or second sale to stay in the business, but they have an opportunity to really learn alongside somebody that is doing 40 to 70 transactions a year and over $100 million of business a year. And so they're getting to see a lot of different deals. They're getting to see a lot of different opportunities, be involved in conversations, be involved in marketing, so on and so forth. So they're getting a really extensive view of the business. And they're getting to experience the business without the desperation that I think some brokers face with when they get into this business of, okay, I've got my desk, I've got my computer, I see the MLS now, I don't have a lot of, I have no experience in the business, how am I going to go find a deal? Absolutely. And that is, I think that weeds out a lot of people. And, you know, my goal is to help develop people by giving them a platform with which they can learn and grow.
Yeah, I can't agree with that enough. I mean, when I first started, I had that, you know, that empty inbox and that blinking cursor, and it was like, okay, what do I do? And I joined a team, and then mm-hmm. you just see the deal flow. You see things come in, and you're not, because you're surrounded by it, you're not intimidated by it when it comes and it's yours. You know, you're not, you know, a buyer comes to you, you get a listing, now you know exactly what to do, you know the steps, and you've done it a bunch before. Now it's yours, but you've seen it happen before. You have someone you can go ask. I think that really made a difference in my trajectory. And I think that, you know, I can't imagine someone better than you that, that they can, you know, in Aspen for someone, to learn from you, that would be a great opportunity. And I hope that they're thankful for it. I'm sure they are.
I think they are.
Lex, can you tell us a little bit about seasonality in Aspen and when the hot times for real estate, you know, when buyers come to see property and when you guys are busiest?
Sure. We definitely have two very distinct seasons. Our winter season runs essentially from Thanksgiving until the first part of April. And then we go into our off season, which is a very quiet time. And then about Memorial Day, things start picking back up. And we see the summer gradually ramp up through September, really ramps up to the end of August, and then starts tapering down in September. But September is a beautiful month here. It's a favorite of many people that own or visit here. We also see a high concentration in February and March. But with the prevalence of Zillow and a more globally connected world, we're seeing business happen throughout the year now. Every week of the year, we're seeing property go under contract. And a lot of that is driven by Zillow and the internet and just a more connected world. A lot of our clientele are either flying private or they are flying first class, and they're ready to jump on a plane. If the right opportunity presents itself, they'll go ahead and work to move to a contract and fly out immediately to see it, whether that's in October or in the middle of July. And so we're seeing business happening more on a daily and weekly basis than was happening here 10, 15 years ago.
Right. That makes sense. Can you speak to the how easy it is to fly in, fly out? You have a nearby airport, right? Very close.
We have an airport. Sardi Field, Picken County's airport, is about 10 minutes from downtown, so very, very convenient. And we have direct flights now from Houston, Dallas, Chicago, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Orange County. At times of the year, we have flight from Phoenix and Salt Lake City, as well as Atlanta. And our air service is expanding. Some of that is seasonal, but amongst those seasons that I've discussed, but our air service has grown tremendously in the last 10 years. And eventually I expect to see some airport renovations that will allow commercial aircraft to come in from New York, DC, Miami, and such, which will further change the market and the accessibility of the market from people coming for the East Coast.
Yeah, that's great. Can you tell us if the state of the market in Aspen, are you seeing the same kind of slowdown due to interest rates that we're seeing elsewhere in the country, or do you feel a little bit insulated from that because of your particular market?
I think we're somewhat insulated. I think that higher borrowing costs affects everybody to a certain degree. We've been for a long time now, we've been very used to borrowing at 2 to 4%. And with that doubling, it is having an impact on the market, but we're still seeing a fair amount of transactions. We're definitely down versus 2021, but that was a record year. We're seeing a lot bigger transactions now, and I think there are people that are buying, you know, we're seeing properties above 20 million trading frequently, and possibly that segment of the market is less or is more immune to interest rates than we thought.
Yeah.
So we're seeing some big transactions, but then we're seeing things for good property, where we still have very limited inventory. Our inventory is down about 50%. Mm. And when things are coming on the market and they're fairly priced, even with double the borrowing costs, we're seeing people go to contract and close those properties.
Yeah, that That makes a lot of sense. Did you get a big boom of people buying in Aspen, you know, from COVID, kind of fleeing the urban centers and getting out there? Or what did you see during COVID?
We really did. You know, I'll remember it. I'll remember it forever. But when COVID shut things down and Aspen asked second homeowners and visitors to go back home in middle of March, of course, like most real estate markets, our market just shut down immediately. There was hardly a transaction that took place, a sale that took place from middle of March until the middle of May. And I saw Craig Morris, who founded our Sotheby's brokerage here at the golf course in early May. And he told me that they had opened the airport up in the first week of May, and there were people flying in on private aircraft that day to look at property. They'd been waiting at home, ready to make a move or jump out here to look at property. And that started it. And that May was a very robust time in the market, and it just grew steadily through the year. It was hard to comprehend, but I look back at that point, and you know, everything I'd done in the 25 years of my career was preparing me for that moment. And I'm grateful that I'd had the experience leading up to it, that I was able to capitalize on the fact that there was a lot of pent-up demand on the buyer side, and we saw a very, very strong market in 2020 and in 2021.
Well, judging from your numbers, it certainly looks like you capitalized on it. For the listeners, in 2017 through 2020, Lex sold $200 million of real estate. But in 2021 alone, he sold almost $300 million. So, Lex, what's the one thing that you started doing in 2021, besides the market being hot in general, that had a big impact on your business that you wish you'd started sooner?
It's interesting. You know, I'm not sure I've done a lot different. You know, it's been cumulative for my career. I have been someone that each morning on a business day, I am not racing to my desk, but I am focused on getting to my desk and getting to work and really calling people, communicating with people. And I've done that through my career, and it's just built and continued to build. But I probably would say that, I read Ninja Selling, the book, about 3 or 4 years ago, mm-hmm. and started implementing some of the principles of the book. And I really think that the morning calls and the Ninja 9 that Larry talks about in that book they're really great. You know, it's a great guideline or a great foundation for building a real estate business.
That book
and
is
so
on my
implementing that.
It's on my shelf, so I'll get to it.
Great.
Yeah.
It's the best sales book I've ever read. And it being a real estate sales book, and it's really not a sales book. It's a book about service and providing service, and really a book about how to connect with people on a human level and then provide service after making that connection. And I think it's extremely powerful and extremely effective for growing a real estate business.
That's great. I'm so glad you brought that up. It was given to us by our sales manager pretty recently, and I thumbed through it, but I haven't given it a full read, so I certainly will, and I'll let you know what I think.
Great. It's worth it.
Yeah, I've heard great things. One thing I've heard about Aspen is that the taxes are very affordable. Is that true?
That is true, and it's a shock to people coming from New York or California or Florida. And reason being is that most of the large property in Aspen is owned by second homeowners that are not taking up a lot of the services on a day-to-day basis. So we have a very expensive property base with which to tax off of. And with that, taxes on residential property are quite low. They're about $2,000 per $1 million of value.
Wow.
So you take a $20 million home, they're going to pay $40,000 in taxes annually. And it's a great thing for us because it takes the tax out of the equation, really. If you're going to buy a home and operate a $20 million home from afar with property manager and paying your utilities and your typically extensive landscape upkeep and such, the property taxes just become, in the grand scheme of things, a very, very manageable expense. We do have, like many of the resort towns around the country, and especially in ski country, we're in a housing crisis to an extent, without a doubt. And the city of Aspen was on the forefront of building community subsidized or affordable housing. They started doing that back in the late 70s or early 80s. And that's been a very good thing for our community. A lot of that is funded through a 1.5% transfer tax on all sales within the city of Aspen, all real estate sales. Mm-hmm. So that is that's a cost of entry, if you will, in buying in Aspen that buyers are getting they are paying a tax at that point.
Yeah, we have a similar one in New York City. Although ours doesn't specifically go towards funding anything like that. Ours is just a general tax. I prefer yours because it has a purpose. You know, it has a definite purpose and a definite outcome.
It does. It does.
Are there any tools that you use on a daily basis that have a big impact on your business?
I'm a pretty analog guy, I have to say. Mm-hmm. And, I've used some various CRMs. I have, a lot of my business is really on the phone and then doing analysis for potential buyers or sellers through working on Excel spreadsheets and such. We still do a fair amount of commercial business. So we financial model out investment deals and development deals and things similar to that. So spend a fair amount of time in Excel and, really try and bring a business sense to my clients. So spend a lot of time doing that and writing detailed emails about property and really getting on the phone and talking through potential opportunities with clients. That's how I spend most of my day. I have a very good marketing consultant that helps me with a newsletter that with 150 brokers at Sotheby's here in our valley and 600 or 700 brokers up and down the valley. I've really worked to create a bespoke email newsletter that covers properties, best deals, arts and entertainment, and things of interest within the community. And I've done that to really try and set myself apart. So I do spend a fair amount of time on that communication on a mm-hmm. monthly basis. And I've found that to be very valuable.
It's funny because usually the people who are very successful and who don't use daily use a certain CRM or anything like that, it's because they've developed their own system that is usually even more thorough than any CRM, where you're already contacting all of your people and you have your list and you are checking it twice. And most people need to rely on an external system, but if you're doing whatever you're doing is working and all of your clients are, you're in touch with all of your clients, then I say just keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you. It seems to be working pretty well. Things will occasionally slip through the cracks, but the focus every week is communication across the board with the entire client, the entire client base. We don't touch everybody every week, but we are working to connect with as many people as possible every week we're working.
Lex, I think almost all realtors think a lot about advertising and their website and how to differentiate themselves from the pack. I think you've done a really great job of that with your website and with some of your marketing. Can you talk a little bit about what you do that helps to set you apart?
Sure. I spend a lot of time trying to go not against the herd, but try and differentiate myself from the herd. So I will put advertisement in the paper that are not advertisements that are not my mugshot with a property, but I'll put historic photography or something artistic in the paper under my banner of Love-Aspen, and I'll put something in there to really catch people's eye and catch their attention, and then they see that my name's attached to it. So I use things like that as well to differentiate myself and also create some fun and maybe joy for people within our market.
Well, I really like your website, and you get great SEO because that's how I found you. I mean, obviously, you sell a lot of property too, but when I was going through, Aspen and really doing my research, you know, you kept coming up and I kept going to your website. So whatever you're doing it right.
Fantastic. Thank you for that.
I also think people do see enough cheesy real estate ads that, it's important to get your name out there, but getting it out there in a way that you're proud of and you're happy with is important. I wanted to ask you, you're involved in a lot of different Aspen organizations, too many to list, but I wonder if you could take me through some that you've been involved with and, you know, if those have a big impact in your business or if they're just, I imagine it's a little bit chicken or the egg. You're very involved in the community and you're also, you sell a lot of real estate, but I'm wondering if that was ever a conscious decision to grow your business or if you just are a very active community member and it also tends to help you.
I had the opportunity of starting my career in Aspen at the Gantt, and the general manager there at the time was Molly Campbell, who was somewhat legendary in Aspen. She unfortunately passed away from cancer in 2007, but she had been the general manager at the Gantt for almost 30 years, and she was really focused on our community here. There is a public service award that the Aspen Chamber Resort Association created in her honor after she passed away. But she instilled that in me, and we have a great leadership program in the Valley that was initially called Leadership Aspen and then was changed to Roaring Fork Leadership. But I participated in that in 2003 and 2004. And with that, started doing different volunteer assignments and service work and trying to give back to our community. Aspen's been great to me and my wife and our family. So I try and stay involved and have done many different things over the years, from being on the City of Aspen's Financial Advisory Board. Right now I'm on the Building and Grounds Committee with the Aspen Country Day School. And so I've had different involvement through, and I've been on the board at Roaring Fork Leadership as well. So I've done several things over the course of my career and try and give back. And it has led to business. It has created, new relationships that maybe have directly led to business or indirectly. But I believe very strongly in giving back. And it is something that, my goal is to be able to do more of that as I eventually transition out of this intense day-to-day, mm-hmm. Daily world of real estate brokerage.
Yeah, no, that all makes sense. And I think that's really great. I think often you do get business from things that you're not intending to get business from, and that's kind of how it should be, is it shouldn't always be, what's the ROI on this and what's the ROI on this? If you really love your community and you can get as involved as possible, then you're always going to sell better when you're selling something that is important to you. So have you lived in Aspen? How long have you lived in Aspen?
I moved to Aspen in 1995, more or less right out of college. I worked as a golf pro in New Jersey for one season, essentially the year after college, and then moved out here in November of 1995. So I've just crossed the 27-year mark, and I'm almost a local.
Is that 30 years? You got to be there for 30 years to be a local.
It's always a moving target, but some people say it's 2 or 4 or 10, but there's a strong pride, I think, in being local in Aspen, and people have a lot of pride in how long they've been here. But the other great thing about our community is it's a very welcoming place, and we have people that come and they get right into the community and enjoying it within 1 month. And it's a great place to be, whether you've been here for 27 days or 27 years.
Have you ever heard any stories of people who come there for a vacation and then just have all their stuff packed up and shipped over and they just move there?
I think there are a few of those. Everybody has a story. My story was I was going to come for for one ski season and then go back and work in the golf business in New Jersey. I got out here and essentially got stuck, and it was a great place to get stuck.
Yeah. Well, I just have one more question for you, and thanks for a great interview. What do you think that agents can do this year to prepare for a somewhat difficult year and hopefully even exceed what they did for business last year?
I think one of the key things is really communication and fostering previous relationships. And I spent some time recently calling brokers that had sold property at a condominium complex and asked them if I was asking them if their clients that they had represented on the buying side would consider selling. And I got a great wide variety of responses. Some people hadn't talked to their clients maybe in 5 years. Some had talked to him the previous week. And I really think going back through your database and connecting and reconnecting and working with your buyers and sellers that you've represented before, I think that's going to be very critical. And then I think really keeping sellers informed. We're in a very dynamic, very rapidly changing market in many markets across the United States. And there's almost no way to over communicate with sellers right now. And I think that great communication, great analysis with sellers will help them make the right decisions. We're seeing slower offer activity, and I really think it's critical when you do get an offer for your seller that you've been keeping them informed so they have a very good understanding of the market in real time and understand what's trading in your market, at what price levels, at what discount to list price. And the better educated they are, the better opportunity you have of closing a transaction with your seller when you get an offer that seems to be more rare than it was 12 months ago.
Yeah. So being proactive with the seller ahead of time, educating them about other properties in your comp set that have, maybe went into contract or have sold, any data that you get, make sure your seller knows, because when that offer comes, and maybe it's a little bit lower than they were expecting, but in this case, if it is, they've already kind of digested it a bit. So now they're willing to respond and they're not going to get offended by an offer that maybe they think is a little lower than it should be. Is that kind of what I'm hearing from you?
That's what you're hearing. That's absolutely right. I think you're not going to get a price reduction with every week or every time something happens in the market. But if you can clearly explain to your sellers that, okay, this property just traded and it sold at 87% of list, we were seeing things trade at 96% of list, you're starting to create a more educated dialogue with your seller, and they will be able to respond better in this rapidly changing market.
Well, Lex, thanks so much. This has been a really great interview, and I really appreciate your time coming on the show. I wanted to just finish with if listeners want to get in touch with you, if they have a referral for you, if they have friends or family or they themselves are looking to buy in the area, how should they get in touch with you?
You can learn more about me on my website at love-aspen.com. And probably the best way to get in touch with me is at my email address, lex.tarumianz@sir.com.
And all of Lex's info will be in the show notes, so you can take a look at it there. Well, Lex, thanks again for coming on the show, and hope to speak to you soon.
Phil, thanks so much. Really enjoyed it, and I look forward to connecting in New York or in Aspen soon.
Thanks for listening to the Top Broker Podcast. If you have a question, comment, or would like to suggest a guest for the show, I can be reached at phil@topbrokerpodcast.com. If you want to help the show grow, a 5-star rating or review on iTunes can really boost it. And of course, sharing it with one or two friends who you think might like it. Thanks, and I'll see you next time.